Yes, of course.
Cool. So, so I'm gonna move away. Dimitri's gonna. The difference between the diagrams that Elijah showed you and the logical data center diagram is obviously that the data center diagram is a lot more static. But that means you don't change your data center configuration that often. And the other thing is that in the data center, what happens is you don't specifically design a data center for the application. You do it, you're supposed to do it the other way around. You're supposed to design your application for the data center. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to design the data center diagram, and normally you would have your data center diagram up front. So let's say I'm just going to start a new project. I'll open a new instance of Visual Studio. And in the list of available solution templates, I'm going to pick the template for logical data center diagram. Logical data center diagram will open. You will see that it looks exactly the same. So here, my new project. My template called logical data center diagram will appear.
So you guys are doing a really long run through. How long ago was it where you were actually able to first run through this end to end?
Oh, it's been a while. We have this, demo not necessarily set up, but with all different variations, I've been doing it for about 6 months, and only probably longer than that.
Yeah, I started at the same time.
Yeah.
There's some of the newer features which have come online. We've had the basic core features in the product for a while now. Some of the newer features, which we can't get into because it's just too deep, they still give us some issues and problems. We've kind of finally at that stage right now where we feel kind of comfortable with those as well. But yeah, we've been demoing this for like 6 months now.
Cool.
Okay, so let's get back to my logical data center diagram. And as you will notice, my screen looks exactly the same. It's the same design surface. It's the same underlying SDM language. The only difference that right now in my toolbox, I have a group called logical servers. And though there is a server such as Windows server, IIS web server, database server, or something what we call generic server, which could be anything that we don't specifically model in this version. I have to mention that you can extend those items in the toolbox. You can add your own items using our software development kit, or you can save some of the existing configurations as a prototype. So for me to start, I will have to drop a web server to host what Ali designed and what I assume will be our internet storefront. One of the important features of the logical data center design is that it allows you to put some boundaries around your applications in what we call zones. Zones are your typical network boundaries, such as, for example, a perimeter network or an internet zone or a backend, which will have different stricter or not security settings or just different configuration settings. So if I want to move my internet store into that zone, I'll just move it to the zone.
So this would restrict user access to it. So if I wanted to say only these 10 people have access to the zone.
Or you can restrict it based on the protocol, which is right here is my what we call zone endpoint. And I have certain communication constraints down here that say that either it's a database server endpoint. In my case, it means that it will go through the TDS protocol, which is a protocol for accessing SQL Server. If I want to disallow that, and I do want to disallow that, I'm going to uncheck it. And what that will mean that no database connection can be established to this zone. Generic server endpoint, I may also restrict that too. I'm going to say I don't want any other connection except for the ones that I know. And the one that I know right here is something called website endpoint. So yes, I'm going to allow HTTP. And I can set some properties of that website, such as anything that you may think of. Authentication, compression, connection. Oops. Yeah, thank you.
Sorry.
Compression, connection, any timeout settings, any content settings, any identity settings, anything that you would normally set to restrict access to the internet-enabled zone.
A lot of the things like the SQL access you showed, like you were disabling that first. Was there a design decision made to say, okay, we're going to, when you default create a zone, that it's going to be open for these three things and we'll make the users unselect it, versus the other way would have been completely locking down a zone? Was that a
That was rather a hard decision to make. We actually thought of that in a number of ways. Our zones are directional. They're incoming, outgoing, or they can be bidirectional. Depending on where they are, we have different items here. Like, send, for the outgoing zone, there is an HTTP client endpoint versus a website endpoint. So there are different restrictions that you can apply to the zone. Now, there is even more to it. When you apply, when you connect your thing on the zone, when you basically proxy through those zone ports, something that you can do, you can save your configuration. And if I want to send my ASP.NET security setting to be, for example, forms authentication and not Windows and use some password format, I can do that right here. And what I can do, I can click on that zone, I can select everything I have, and I can simply say, let me select that all. And I can simply say add to toolbox. So what I'm doing right now, I'm saving to my toolbox this specific configuration. I can assign an icon to it. I can assign a path to it. And if I put it in a shared folder, everybody in the company or in my access list will have access to that specific file. So I'll name it my hardened IIS zone, for example. And once I select a prototype and specify a path, it will immediately appear on my toolbox right here, called hardened IIS, and if I drop it on the design surface, it will be already pre-configured system. So you can design your building blocks and build your logical data center out of those building blocks defined by your IT security person, IT operations person, or so somebody else who will call, as a role, we'll call it IT pro, whoever manages your data center. The next thing that I'm going to show you, just not to waste the time, let's pretend that I already have a logical data, not pretend, but I already have a logical data center diagram that I'm going to add to the project that Ali already created. So I'm going to go back to his solution, and I'm going to add an existing item. And my existing item will be in my demo folder called Storefront Data Center. Normally, as I said, the storefront data center diagram will be already pre-created by the operations people. And the big difference that I will see and the difference that our product can make is normally those network diagrams made using Visio. First of all, Visio cannot provide you with the validation. Visio can provide you with the settings. And Visio is just a set of pictures. They're not integrated with anything. This is the fully integrated diagram that you can validate against, that you can map your applications to, that you can validate whether your application will work on the server, whether your application will work in the data center environment. So here is a not necessarily complete data center. I'm going to add a couple more things to it. I'm going to add my internet storefront, as I said. Here's my web server that will go right into the zone. I will connect it to the outbound endpoint. And as you can see, there is no incoming endpoints into that zone because basically this is your internet storefront. And of course, I'll name the server from a default to the internet storefront. Internet storefront. Let me kind of elaborate a little bit on the picture that I have designed, and just so you can see it better, I created an image for it. This is the initial image of my diagram. I'm going to zoom it up a little. I'm going to open it in a separate window. The important things to notice is, of course, that those are all different shapes. My data center does not have a specific database server for catalog databases that we created. We just have a generic database server. We also have analysis server where all Windows applications run. We also have internet or internet portal server and the catalog management web services. Now, it's interesting to notice that they have zones defined, intranet, perimeter network, partner network, which can have, as I said, restrictions on either access or protocols or any kind of settings or configuration. Partner network uses a concept and icon and shape of a generic server. Generic server means that we don't know what kind of web service our partner DHL is using. Maybe they're Java-based, maybe they're Windows-based, they're completely external to us. So we use a generic server to model this unknown functionality. So once I designed my data center, and again, this is how the diagram will look, I can map the systems that designed Ali to this data center. So I'm going to use the storefront system, and I'm going to right-click on the design surface and select Define Deployment. The dialog box will pop up and ask me what kind of data center I can deploy it to, because you can have a number of data center designs. You may have your own testing environment, staging environment, production environment, and since I only have one logical data center diagram, that's the one that I'm going to pick, and I'm going to click OK. At this point is the third type of designer is invoked called deployment designer. And as you can see, the extension is DD for deployment diagram. That's where I will actually map my applications to their respective hosts. So I'm going to pick this DHL web service and map it to my partner web service. Then I'm going to pick my catalog analysis office application and put it on the analysis server. Then I'm going to pick my storefront intranet and put it in the appropriate place. Same goes for the rest of the items. My catalog manager goes into the catalog management web service. Now, if I try to take the database and put it on a Windows server, I will immediately get the stop sign, and the arrow will tell me that the bind application to a compatible logical server. It just means that Office server is not suited to host database application. Now, concept of all those servers is logical. That's why it's a logical data center diagram. Those are not your physical machines. You can actually have on the physical machine your installed both internet information server and analysis server. Analysis server is just a Windows server, and IIS can be installed there. What we are saying is that logical is a completely separate, and physically you can combine them in any way you want. So, and again, if I try to map an incompatible storefront on a Windows server, I will not be able to do that. I will not be able to map it to the database server. I will be able to run it to the intranet, but I don't want to be on the internet since it's actually the internet storefront. So at this point, I have all my applications mapped and all my connections defined. Now, just to show you how validation works, I'm going to remove one of those connections. I'm going to go to the data center diagram and say that I do not have any communications between my internet portal and anywhere outside of the zone. So, and now I'm going to validate this diagram. Let me save it. Let me save all those diagrams before I do that. It's actually a good practice anyway. We are working in the beta 2 environment, so whatever you see here, whatever is being saved, is essentially what you're going to get if you get beta 2 version of Visual Studio Team Architect. When I pick validate diagram, what's going to happen is the system will go and compile all those files. The files are written in the SDM format, so we're going to invoke SDM compiler, which is actually owned by Windows Team. And validation is going to produce us either the clean bill of health or the list of errors that we have. And at this time, we have an error. We have our error list, and here's an error. And the error says that there was no connection found that will allow communication relationship between the endpoint product information defined by Ali and product information, which really means that there is no communication between this server and this server. To fix it, I can do it two ways. I can double-click on the error message, and it will bring me exactly to where the error is. And I don't know if you can see it. Let me zoom it up a little. There is a red icon right here indicating that there is something wrong with this web service. Now let's suppose I know that it's not the problem with the web service. The connection is established. So the only problem where this connection may not exist is on my logical data center diagram, which means that it's either there is no wire, or there is no physical wire, or there is no logical connection between internet storefront and the product web services. So I'm going to reestablish this connection, and I'm going to revalidate this diagram again, and this time I'm sure I'm not going to get any errors. The most important thing is it's very hard for the IT person every time they have a server to configure it. Basically, they have to go and type in all the different settings for web config. They have to go to the IIS manager and configure all that. But once they have one server configured properly, what we can do, we can save them a lot of time. We can import this information. We can actually suck in whatever they put in their configuration by using our import settings option. So, and again, let me just validate this diagram to show you that there are no errors, that we're not faking anything. And while it's validating, I'm going to also explore one more set of functionality, SDM language. SDM language has a set of systems. Each of those shapes and endpoints are separate systems, and relationships between those systems. Relationships are hosting relationships, relationships are communication relationships. Communication basically means that A can talk to B. Hosting means that this application storefront will reside on an internet server. Reference relationships and containment relationships, which means that certain resources, such as, for example, global assembly cache will be contained in CLR. CLR will be contained in the operating system. Operating system will be contained in the Windows application or the web application. So my validation is now done. Here's my error list. It's clean. The errors that we get is actually from the external web service, but doesn't really bother me at this time. So the next thing that I'm going to do, I'm going to import IIS settings. I'm going to import settings from my local host. And since I'm the administrator in this machine, I don't have to provide any other information. What I can do here, I can import settings from all websites and create a new endpoint per site. I can import web server global configuration. I can import application pools. So basically, I can import the entire web server configuration. So in this time, I'm just going to import global configuration application pools.
So Dmitry, what are those settings before you actually import?
Oh, yeah, let's take a look at them before I import. If you look at these IIS settings, right now, if you look at the application pool settings, for example, they all set to null because, well, I didn't set them to anything. So all those settings are nulls. So now I'm going to import it, and we'll see what we're going to end up with. I'm not going to import any of the additional endpoints, and I'm just going to say import. So now the information is grabbed from the configurations that I specified. It actually entered into its system. Now if I look at my authentication, I will have the username, for example, that was provided. I have some network service set. I have monitoring enabled and certain intervals. So I basically just imported the valid IIS configuration, the one that I want to use. What would be interesting to do now is to see, oh, well, does the configuration change? Now, will my application still work in this data center? So let me revalidate the diagram. And as I revalidate the diagram, everything is basically recompiled. Every connection is checked. Every setting is checked. And hopefully we'll get something different this time. We will see that my application is different. So I do have now an error, and the error says that ASP.NET web applications are not configured to run on this website. The following web server extensions must be enabled, which is ASP.NET filter DLL, or the content type of the web application must be set to static. And again, if I zoom in on this internet zone, I will see that there is this little red icon here specifying that there is a problem, that there is an error that needs to be dealt with. From here, I can either navigate to the logical data center, or I can go to the application diagram and fix the application to be set to static. So I decide I confer with my application developer or architect and say, well, if you want to use the content, it needs to be static. How we can change it? There are a couple of ways we can change it. We can change it on the application diagram itself, or we can change it on the system diagram, because system diagram is really the one that I'm implementing. I'm implementing this system. So I'm not going to touch application diagram. I'm going to change it only in my current implementation. So I'm going to go to the settings and constraint editor, and guess what? I'm immediately sitting in the right place where it says web content dynamic. I didn't have to do it. It's just because there was an error, it navigated me to the first available setting. So I'm going to change this value dynamic to static, and basically saying that my web content is now static. I don't expect any dynamic content. And again, I'm going to revalidate. This time, I'm going to get a clear bill of health, and this indicates that my system will work with this application. This application can be installed in the system, and we don't expect any problems in configuration.
Wow. So Dmitry, now that we've seen that this actually can be deployed on this particular data center. How do we actually deploy it? Is there any way that you actually make this easier for deployment purposes?
At this time, we do not provide a physical deployment, just because we didn't have enough resources to do so. But what we do, we provide you all information you need to physically deploy your system, and I need to set certain properties, and then I'm going to run some features that we call deployment report. Deployment report is going to create a set of files, and let me put the directory ctestreport for the destination path. I'm also going to select include the diagrams, but they may as well include all the source code files. They may include content files, which is help files, INI files, whatever. I may include the binary files, which is executables or TLLs. I can specify certain sections, and now I'm going to generate deployment report, which is a document that contains every single setting from every single system, from every single application, from every single data center server. You can take that. It's an XML document which has an HTML representation, which we use XSL transformation to create a HTML file out of the XML. And this is how it's going to look in the browser. I'm looking at the HTML file. It will contain all the diagrams right here. So you will see the diagrams. You can share those diagrams. And then it will contain information about every single system, as I said, that has entered those web applications, office applications, and every resource and every setting thereof. So those are the resources called web application, web config, directory, web section group. You can drill down into, for example, compilation section, and it will have every single setting about compilation and assemblies that you will want to know. You can drill down into the resources indication section, and it will tell you that the redirect URL is internal. The form authentication configuration section that has its own settings. You can drill again into the credential settings, and so on and so forth. Everything is exposed there. So you can take this document, you can send it to your counterpart on either application or IT side, and they can talk over the phone or have a meeting and discuss this document, and they say, oh, well, this setting really is not supposed to be product information, it's supposed to be something else. Or we don't want to use port 30991, we want to change it to something. Now, if you want to automate your deployment physically, we have this XML file, which, as I said, has every possible setting for every possible system. So if you have any XML parser, you just take it, you run it against this file, and you populate your configuration file with the values from right here. So, for example, if you have this ASP thread gate time slice set to 1000, you can definitely take it. You can write it into your web config under the appropriate section, and if you run through all of those settings in the XML file, you will have a fully configured, ready-to-work server. Same thing goes for the applications. So I guess what we demonstrated you so far is the power that our VSTA gives to both sides, to the operations side and to the development side. We try to bridge the gap between those two groups of people or those two roles and make the creation of the applications easier without going back and forth and changing the configuration either of the data center or the application. Because normally, and I mean, I'm a former developer, I was basically doing that all the time. I will design an application, it gets deployed, and then people will come back and say, well, we've got bugs, it doesn't work in my data center. So then we'll have to debug, and then we'll say, oh, yeah, you know what, you need to add this section to your web config. Or, yeah, it's not going to work here because you don't support HTTP, you only support HTTPS, and then I have to go change protocols. So those things will be able to find them out before actually doing any work, before even writing the code. We can work that out, and then when the application comes to life, we have success. It just works. So the premise is that, you know, you design your application, we design the data center, and then it just works.
Cool.